Hi everyone, I'm Michael Whistler, and I sincerely believe that science fiction can help us save the world. In this episode, we're going to discuss unwanted guests on a long journey to Mars. I'm going to be reviewing the new Netflix movie, Stowaway. This is Exploring Tomorrow. Towards the end of April, a new movie hit Netflix called Stowaway, starring Anna Kendrick, Daniel Day Kim, Shamir Anderson, and Toni Collette. It's a science fiction movie set in space, dealing with a long trip to Mars. And as you can tell from the trailer, Shamir Anderson plays a character who manages to stow away aboard unintentionally. He doesn't even have a good recollection of exactly how he ended up there. And that's part of an interesting bit of mystery that the movie deals with to a degree. So I want to discuss this movie because I wanted to jump on it immediately and check it out. And I'm always drawn to these kinds of space movies. So there will be some spoilers in this episode. I'll be sure to flag those as we kind of get into them. Initially, I'm just going to provide a more general bit of a review discussion, and then I'm going to get into it and then a little more depth. So if you're interested in just sort of listening to the first part of this episode and going and watching the movie, that's totally cool. And then you can come back and listen to the rest. If you're like, whatever, I've already seen it, or I'm probably not going to watch it, but I still want to listen, you're welcome to stay for the duration right now. So who might watch this movie? I would say that if you are looking for Armageddon or Alien, something with a lot more action, this is probably not the movie for you in that sense. But if you're looking for something that's somewhat in the vein of Gravity and The Martian, there is some action, but it really is about like the tension, the rising tension of surviving against surmounting challenges and difficulties, then this might well be the movie for you. I was really fascinated by the premise for Stowaway because it reminded me immediately of a short story by Tom Goodwin called The Cold Equation, which was published in Astounding back in, I believe, August of 1954. I think that's correct. And the story is basically follows a similar situation, but in The Cold Equation, it's a small ship with one pilot aboard, and an 18-year-old girl stows away on it on purpose. She knows exactly what she's doing because she wants to get out to basically a frontier planet where her brother is stationed, and she wants to see him. She hasn't seen him in quite some time, so she stows away on this tiny resupply ship. However, what she is not aware of is that these ships have a very precise calculated amount of fuel to be able to make the trip, and that there's actually a law in place that states that if there ever is a stowaway, they are simply to be jettisoned into space. Because how little margin of error there is for these ships to be able to make their pivotal deliveries, and you know, they just don't have the fuel to spare in order to bring along unintended, unexpected cargo, like a whole extra person. And so it's kind of a heartbreaking story of how she comes to realize this and has to come to terms with this, and ultimately be jettisoned into space. So what she thought was going to be a really fun surprise for her brother, you know, a bit of an 18-year-old indiscretion, you know, the whole like frontal lobe not being fully developed, thinking things through, turns out to be a pretty bad idea and cost her her life. The story has been criticized for just being basically bad engineering. Like, the physics are correct. It's just bad engineering in the sense that, man, you know, you need to account for margin of error. You need to have a more leeway than that. But it's, it makes for an interesting premise and makes for a heartbreaking story, for sure. So Stowaway kind of reminded me of that because we've got similar challenges that come up in the movie. It's a very different scenario in that, it, you know, again, the Stowaway is not purposeful. He doesn't set out to stow away on this long trip to Mars. And in fact, because he has a concussion and everything, doesn't even really remember what exactly happened and how he got there. And also there is no law in this scenario in which the a stowaway is just spaced, you know, just throwing out an airlock. So instead, every effort is made to accommodate him and save him. He was actually enclosed in the area of the ship that houses the carbon dioxide scrubber that sort of helps clear that out in a filtration system, because, you know, we're exhaling carbon dioxide and then keep the air right levels of oxygen. So it's the oxygen provision system. And in the process, it leaks a bunch of oxygen and as he's gets out, or actually he's rescued from there, the thing breaks and it shorts out and basically kills the machine. And now they have basically an oxygen shortage, and they don't really have a good way to scrub out carbon dioxide. So they start making efforts, like using the algae experiments that Daniel Day Kim's character is supposed to be performing on Mars, not on the way to Mars, as a means to provide themselves with more oxygen and less carbon dioxide, because they certainly, one, didn't account for having four people on the ship instead of three, and two, didn't account for their air filtration system, the carbon dioxide scrubber, to go down. So it's an interesting premise, interesting idea. What's cool about it is that it very much, like, I kept wondering, what are they going to do with this scenario? What are they going to ultimately reveal about these characters in this process? So I think it's an interesting scenario that sets up a really compelling story. And as such, I find if you're a fan of this kind of, like, okay, we're going to solve problems in space, and it's relatively realistic physics, then I think you'll enjoy this movie. It is not perfect, and we'll get into that now a little bit. So again, I'm going to go into some spoilers now. If you don't want to know more about the movie before checking it out, look, I enjoyed it, and I found it overall a really enjoyable watch. I enjoy it more than I think a lot of other things offered out there. However, you know, it's not for everyone. Actually, before you potentially pause and go watch the movie, I have, speaking of people not enjoying it, I have looked at some of the reviews on IMDb, and one in particular really cracked me up. Somebody was complaining that this particular user posted a short review on there, basically complaining about how, oh, the launch sequence is just a bunch of shaking, and they didn't really do things in the right order, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I'm not an expert on that. I'm constantly learning more about space because I'm definitely a space nerd. But, like, I'm not a launch expert in, like, stages of rocket expert. But, okay, sure, all right, maybe they got it wrong. But then, But then the same person in the same paragraph then complains about how they used rotation as a means to basically simulate gravity. And this person says, and everybody knows that that doesn't work, but they just did it to save on special effects. And I was like, what? Does this dude not understand the basics of physics? Has this person never grabbed a bucket half full of water and spun it around over his head? Because that's all that is. That's all you're doing in space, just on a much bigger scale. Constant change in the vector, and basically acceleration and gravity are interchangeable in physics. And as such, if you're going around in a circle, a centripetal force is going to work very much like gravity. And it's going to pull you to the outside of whatever surface you're in, you know, that's spinning around that way. Yeah, that is actually how that would work. So this one-star review smacked of either trolling, but like, I don't know, like really esoteric trolling, or someone just doesn't understand the basics of physics. So look, they do get that stuff right, I say. Is it perfect? No, not necessarily perfect, but it is at least plausible. So if you're into plausible science fiction, this might be your cup of tea. So with that said, feel free to go check it out. And we'll proceed now with more spoilers. I ultimately enjoyed the movie, but there are some things I think that were missed opportunities. And the number one missed opportunity in Stowaway for me is that we didn't further develop Michael's character, the Stowaway. And there was an inherent mystery in how he ended up there. And then it was never addressed. And that's kind of frustrating. I really appreciate the fact that it remained a humans against the odds story. And didn't, like Sunshine does, end up turning into this like, oh, we got a bad guy, we got a killer on board. And then, you know, kind of degenerate into weird hack 'em up killer in space kind of story. I appreciate that it didn't do that. However, that is a really big missed opportunity to really have a bigger revelation and a bigger twist around, well, how the hell did Michael get there in the first place? You know, because it's a pretty peculiar scenario that he's like locked in closed. Like they had to use like screw guns and stuff to open up that cover. How the hell did he end up there? Did somebody club him? Did somebody have something against him? Some kind of vendetta? That's kind of too big of a question to put into a story like this and then just be like, we're not going to answer it. So I got to dock some points for that. That's unfortunate. Like I think as an audience, we really deserved an answer to that. That's too big of a question. Also, I got to dock some points for the fact that really they don't like something as crucial as a carbon dioxide scrubber. They don't have backup. Like that's a point of plausibility that is kind of strange. Like one thing I will say that I appreciate about the story is that it is set up in such a way that this is private, you know, it's this private endeavor. It's not NASA. It's not NASA doing this thing. So it's a private organization, sending people to Mars. So as such, like, There probably is even stronger incentives to take shortcuts and not have all the backups in place that the way the NASA does, because there appears to be at least some level of profit-driven prospecting going on here. And as such, you know, backups are probably seen as a waste of money. And there is reference in the movie to the fact that the spacecraft that they're in, which appears to have made several trips before, that it was originally designed for two people to be making this round trip to and from Mars. And of course, due to economic pressures and all that, increase efficiency or return on investment, the organization behind this has decided to make it three people. So they're already kind of pushing the limits of what this ship is designed for, and then they add a fourth person into the equation, and obviously there's going to be some problems. So, like, I get that. That blends some level of plausibility, but it is a, like, space is a truly just devastating environment. And as such, because the most mundane things can actually kill you in space, that it strains credibility to me that they wouldn't have backups for something as crucial as air filtration systems, carbon dioxide scrubber. Because, like, you gotta breathe. You know, there's some basic things that you gotta be able to do in space. You gotta breathe, you gotta be protected from radiation, you gotta eat. You know, like, these are essential things. Now, that's something I will give points to Stowaway for, is that they do tackle the challenges and the problems of space in a much more believable way. So it is, you know, the things that are going to, that are threatening these characters and going to potentially kill them are radiation, lack of air. I mean, the whole thing ultimately spins around the whole problem of they're going to run out of oxygen long before they ever get to Mars. They don't really ever address the food thing. Apparently they have plenty of food, even for an unaccounted person, this whole thing. That was like, it seems like probably should address that a little bit. But, you know, it is, so it is believable problems though that are going to potentially be, kill them, and not some kind of, it doesn't, you know, they don't do like Passengers did where it's like, oh, they end up flying through a bunch of, asteroids or rocks in space and stuff. And, you know, and the problem with Passengers was that the ship is supposedly moving along at, like, you know, some significant fraction of the speed of light to make this very long journey to a different planet. And yet they run into this debris in space that seems to be, you know, moving maybe a couple hundred miles an hour or something, like rocks that just bang into them, like you might expect asteroids to hit the surface of the Earth after entering the atmosphere and slowing down significantly. When in reality, the ship would be moving so fast that, like, a pea-sized, you know, rock would be like a massive explosion, would pack so much energy. So I will give Stowaway big points for not going that route and doing something stupid like that, that basically tries to transfer sort of familiar Earth gravity-bound, atmosphere-bound physics to the vacuum of space. But that's around the sort of plausibility aspect. What really matters to me, because ultimately I am a storyteller at heart, is the storytelling itself, the characters. And the reason I ultimately still like Stowaway is because of the characters and the way the story is structured around these characters being very human and being very dedicated to overcoming some incredible odds. It's a survival story in that sense. And I will say this, another thing that 30 minutes into the movie, I was watching for, is like, are these astronauts idiots? You know, because like a movie like Life, you know, with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, guys, but those astronauts are idiots. You don't find a new form of life. And, you know, the Prometheus mistake of, oh, cool, I'm going to touch it. Like, and then, of course, it rips your arm off or whatever. Just situations like that where it's like, nah, any trained scientist in that scenario would not behave like that. And I was really impressed with the fact that the astronauts in this movie behave much more like legitimate astronauts. So even like Anna Kendrick's character, who's a doctor, and she's trying to comfort the stowaway, and he's having a panic attack. He's freaking out because he's woken up already on his way to Mars. I think I would freak out too. And just the way that she talks to him and focuses on just getting him to calm down first. And then the way the captain of the ship proceeds to carefully just like, she waits her turn to ask questions. Like a lot of other movies, I think would have had that scenario play out where the captain's just like, I gotta have answers right now. And the doctor's like, no, wait, we gotta like make sure he's okay. You know, and they would have this like antagonism between them. When in reality, clearly, they're all scientists. They all understand, and they're all psychologically vetted and trained to deal with this, you know, these kinds of crazy scenarios. So there's no conflict there between the captain and the doctor. The captain clearly understands that. Yeah, she will get her answers when this guy calms down, and the best way for him to calm down is, you know, let the doctor do her thing, you know? So those like little things really spoke volumes to me as somebody who really is annoyed with how scientists and astronauts are often portrayed in movies. Look, scientists are human beings too. I get it. And everyone's prone to bias and conflict and panic and all that kind of stuff. I get it. And yet, at the same time, especially when you're talking about people who have been thoroughly trained to go into the most deadly frontier possible, space, they're generally not going to behave like your run-of-the-mill moron. And so high marks to Stowaway for not falling prey to just like trying to maximize conflict at the cost of believability in these scenarios. And these characters do unfold and develop, I think, in some fairly good ways. Like there is still very much humanness. I like Daniel Dae Kim's character's struggle where he just kind of ultimately takes on himself of like, I can't deal with this, like, you know, it too much is on his shoulders of like, oh, I gotta save everybody now with my algae and it's not really working. And then there's a sense of like, I just gotta get this over with. So, hey, stowaway, you know, here's the suicide syringe. I actually believed that. You know, like I believe that different people would have different responses in that situation. And it was nice to get Anna Kendrick's character's backstory on saving a drowning man. And her sort of argument for do the right thing and just have faith that hopefully it's going to work out. Like, you know, just go for doing the right thing or die trying, you know. Which ultimately we see play out with her character where she lays down her life sacrificially to be able to get the oxygen tank necessary to save everyone, even though there's a solar storm going on. So all of that, I think, speaks to the kind of science fiction that I really like, and specifically the kind of science fiction that I love discussing on this podcast, which is how do we build a better future? Well, first, better engineering so that we don't overlook key things in a trip like this, like spare parts for air filtration systems. But overall, this type of story, I think, believably tells of the challenges and the difficulties that real space explorers face as we look at heading to Mars. And it stays away from, it stays away from science as somehow the enemy in this scenario. And it doesn't fall into some sort of like plot of, it's just too crazy and not worth it. Instead, there's very much a sense of, as human beings, we are explorers, and we even give ourselves up to these things, to this bigger quest. And we're capable of selflessness and of goodness, in ways that often we don't give ourselves credit for. And as such, it fits as a sort of optimistic level of science fiction that I appreciate and that I think I want to see more of. And it's also incredibly plausible science fiction in a lot of ways. There are definitely weaknesses, and I'm sure I would love to hear from an actual botanist about the plausibility of the whole algae solution, how much air filtration that would provide, how much carbon dioxide the algae would consume, and how much oxygen it would generate. But on the whole, it at least attempts some real plausibility on a much grander scale and a much more attention to detail than some other recent science fiction movies. And so for that, I give it very good marks, and I think it's very worthwhile watching. Ultimately, a story of humans striving against all odds, and of communal connection, of how these characters come together and even forgive each other. And, that aspect of like the stowaway, Michael, being able to forgive David, the botanist. Man, it's like the dude was saying, like, hey, like, you should probably off yourself. But like there's something about even that felt real, and even though it's like very quick moment, I think it's good they also didn't draw it out, because it would have been maybe a little too melodramatic. But instead they touch on this idea of like, hey, no, we're going to move past that. It also shows, I think, strength in Michael's character, the stowaway. So all these things I've really enjoyed. I think it was really worthwhile for a fun, interesting sci-fi movie to watch on Netflix. For me, it gets high marks. I know that it's maybe not everyone's cup of tea, but I do hope to see more movies like this made. And I'm glad that Netflix is investing in making these kinds of movies. The sets were beautiful and believable. The only thing that constantly bugged me about the sets and the lighting was that they are, spinning. And I know that the sun's really far away, and they're getting further and further away from it, and that they're spinning relative to that, like, light source is maybe not super significant, and yet there would be movement. There would be movement in the light. We didn't really see that sort of regular change in the light that I would have hoped. And it might have just been a budgetary constraint, and then made an artistic choice to not do that. Not everybody can have budgets for the massive LED screens that they used in Gravity to surround Sandra Bullock and like literally light her with images of Earth and the sun and all that. I get it. So there are a lot of things about this movie, and in particular what it's trying to accomplish, and even just the style type of movie that I really like. But at the end of the day, is Stowaway a good movie? No. I'm sorry. It's not. It's an okay movie in many regards, but there are some key ways in which it is a pretty serious letdown. Number one is the fact that we have a stowaway in this ship in the most implausible way possible. Who screwed him into this thing? It's an incredibly, like, that aspect of the plot is incredibly implausible. While there's so much other great work done to make the scenario, as far as the actual space travel and the kinds of problems they would face, seem plausible, how the stowaway gets there in the first place is just... No, there's all kinds of check-in, check-out systems when you're working on something of this level of complexity, and when this many things can go wrong, you know exactly where all these people are. He had a very important job related to the firing pins for the rockets. They would know where that guy is. They would know he was missing. Who screwed that thing in that he barely fit into in the first place? So that's number one big sin, is that doesn't seem very plausible unless you're going to explain it in a crazy way. Like, unless it turns out that he did it himself because he actually didn't want to take care of his sister. That was a friend of mine. We were having a discussion about this and he pointed that out. And I was like, you know, that would have been a much more interesting choice rather than just leave it open-ended and never answer that. I feel like that's a violation of the contract the storyteller makes with the audience. To introduce such a big question of how in the world this guy got onto the ship in the first place and then never really answer it, especially when the circumstances are so bizarre, you know, it just violates that contract of we're going to tell you a purposeful, well thought out story. And so in that sense, from a storytelling perspective, it really falls on its face, which is a bummer. And it makes, you know, like, it's a beautiful film. It's shot well, but it makes, it takes the plausible scientific scenario it's in and then kind of ruins it with this weird green haze radiation at the end, which is a little weird. Like, that doesn't really add up. The physics don't make sense on that part. And... you know, I was okay with the ending. A lot of people don't really like the ending where Anna Kendrick, her character ends up just dying from the radiation exposure. I'm okay with the ending, except that they needed to tweak that story more specifically to really, truly make it exclusively about her journey and not focus on the other characters. So there's a lot of ways in which, unfortunately, as much as like I want to be super excited about the movie, it's a little like Midnight Sky all over again. Really cool ideas, a lot of things that I really appreciate about it that I think make it the type of science fiction movie I want to see more of, and yet ultimately feels a bit like a letdown, if I'm being honest. And it kind of just goes back to that, the reason why I tend to end up reading a lot more science fiction than watching science fiction, because I feel like this all too often ends up being the case with science fiction movies. Frankly, really great science fiction movies are kind of rare. And Stowaway continues in that tradition of disappointing in some pretty big ways. So all in all, do I regret watching it? Absolutely not. I don't regret watching it. However, could it be significantly improved? Should it have been significantly improved? Yeah, seriously. So That's my take on it, at least. What did you think? What did you think of Stowaway, if you watched it? Do you think I am off my rocker for demanding so much of it, or did I miss stuff? And you're like, no, it was you praised it in ways that you shouldn't have praised it, and it was complete trash. Let me know. I'm open to that. I might well be wrong, so. Thanks for checking this out. I want to give you a heads up. The next episode I'm really excited about. I recently read a great book simply titled Science Fiction. It's part of the MIT Press Essential Knowledge Library. And the author of that book, Professor Cheryl Vint, is going to be joining us on the podcast, and we're going to have a great conversation about her take on science fiction as this genre, this storytelling medium that helps us make sense of living through rapid technological and social change in our world. Highly recommend checking out the book. It's not a long book, and it really is, while it's dealing with some big academic ideas in some ways, she does a great job of writing it with a general audience in mind. So you don't have to go get a PhD first before you read this book. It's really quite enjoyable, quite a quick read, and gives you a good lay of the land of where science fiction has come from to a degree, and really how it has evolved and adapted and changed to the new context of the world we live in now. So I recommend you check that out, and then join us next time. Either way, join us next time and find out more about Cheryl Vint and this particular book and the work that she does in teaching science fiction at a collegiate level. So thank you so much for listening and checking out this podcast, and please join the conversation on Discord. The link is in the description. If you like this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you could hit subscribe. If you have the ability to rate it, if you're like on Apple Podcasts and you can leave a quick review and give it a 5-star rating, all those things really help boost the exposure of this podcast. Leave comments and let me know what you're thinking. And really, one of the most important things you can do is, if you like this podcast, share it with a friend. That would be just mean the world to me if you do that. So I invite you to do that. Share this podcast with someone you think who would get a kick out of it. And of course, join the conversation on Discord and let us know what you would like to hear more about. All right. Thank you so much for listening, being part of this fun journey of exploring science fiction. Be safe and well. Keep reading good science fiction. Maybe tell me what your favorite science fiction movie of all time is. And take good care of yourself out there. Keep asking those big questions. We'll see you soon.